I'm Brittany.
And I'm Heather.
Welcome to Okayest Moms, the podcast.
A place to be more than just mom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Okayest Moms, the podcast. Brittany here.
And Heather. Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Better than over there, I guess. Sounds like you've been having some wild nights.
You know, yeah, I have a story for you. So I don't do this very often, and I don't know what got into me. I have my brother-in-law bought me some gummies to help
don't
me
blame sleep. It on him.
They've been sitting in my nightstand, and one random night I decided I'm just gonna take one of these, see what happens.
I feel like maybe you should elaborate. We're not talking about a fruit snack here.
We're talking about a CBD THC gummy. They're legal here. Back off.
I like that drug sandwich. Instead of a compliment sandwich.
Sleep. Like, just get into that deep sleep. I haven't been sleeping great lately. What's new? So I took one. And around about 11 o'clock, I went to bed at like 9. I wake up in a panic. Like, I would have sworn on everything that I heard somebody. So our new house is one story, and we have a sliding glass door in our room. And it's been cool at night, so like windows have been open. We've been leaving the door cracked. I woke up in a panic that somebody had just knocked on the sliding glass door. Like, I would have sworn on my life that that happened. And I like flail over and hit Tyler. Like, wake up, somebody's knocking. Like, pure panic. And he jumps out of bed, like, we're all disoriented, and
this is the moment Tyler's been training for.
Yes. And there's like a little bat next to the bed. I don't even know if he grabbed it, but like, I can hear him fumbling with it. He runs over to the door, and I'm like, what are you doing? Somebody out there. And he checks. He's like, there's nobody there. And he like runs to the boys' room because their window is open and they're on the other side of the house. And he closes their window and he checks all the door locks. And
oh my God, did they wake up too?
No. In the meantime, I sit up and I feel like I'm floating a little bit.
Oh my God.
And I remember that the window is open in the bathroom. So I float over to the bathroom. And then at some point in between the walk there and back, I was like, oh, I think I'm high. I don't know if I dreamt it or like it was a car driving by. Tyler thinks it was a car like backfiring.
Oh, I know what it was. It was a cat. 100%. It was a cat doing something crazy in the middle of the night. Probably did make a noise.
Probably. You're right. I've never woken up like that in like straight panic. Like, something's wrong. I'm in survival mode. Spoiler alert. Nobody knocked. Nobody was outside. And I had a hard time falling back to sleep after that. So I think those are the end of my gummy days.
Oh, man.
It was definitely
a cat. Definitely a cat.
It probably was. But then a car drove by and like made a sound. I'm like, oh, maybe that was it.
I don't know. Could be. You guys do back up to a fairly busy street,
right?
So,
yeah, exactly. The window's open, but oh my God, great times, let me tell you. I used to feel fine, like when we lived in a two-story house, it would, you know, the windows are open, it's not
I don't think I could be in a one-story house now, because I do love a window open at night, and my neuroticism could not handle
Unless Tyler's home. So like, he worked late last night, so everything was closed and I was sweating. So, I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, if when you said you've never woken up in a panic because you've never been home alone enough to know that.
There was one time, like carnal panic. it had to have been the drugs. I don't know.
Well, AJ worked graveyards for years, and before we had kids, I was fine. We were also in an apartment, like up high before, so that's another thing. But one night, Astro, our dog, started not really like barking, but kind of just that like low, like, you know, that like low kind of half bark, not really a growl either, but like, I don't know, like he was on alert and I heard it when he would never, ever make a noise at night ever. And then I heard, and I had the window cracked that night, and I heard footsteps on the side yard, and we had rock there, and I heard like the rock, you know, like the sound of somebody stepping on rock. And no. And I like freaked out, and
did you call 911?
No, I called AJ. Oh, and and I was like, somebody's outside, and he's like, he is the most non-reactive person to like anything.
Tyler.
And it is so irritating, because then you constantly look like a psychopath. And it's like, why are you not reacting to anything I'm saying? So I got a flashlight and then like went outside like an idiot. Like, what am I going to do?
That girl in the horror movie.
Well, because I like looked out the window and I didn't see anything. I think what happened was it was the neighbor's dog, because they had rock in the same spot, like in between our houses. So I think the dog, I don't know what Astro, actually, I remember what happened. I didn't go out first. I sent Astro out first. And he didn't bark or anything. So then I went to go like, look, but I don't know. It was, I'm telling you, it's the animals. They caused the problem.
Yeah. I know. And then once you like spiral into it, like every little thing, you're on edge.
Yeah. So definitely that night.
So great fun over here.
Well, in completely unrelated news, our episode today is with Addie Fisher of Old World New. You may remember her from our Cultural Conversations episode. She talked to us about Kwanzaa and how her family celebrates. Her area of focus is sustainability and making it accessible for everybody. And so we knew we had to have her on to talk about that. And what better time to do it than right before Earth Day? And I just love Addie. She makes everything. I feel like sustainability and being earth friendly or green or like whatever buzzword you were calling it now can seem so intimidating, and like it has to look so nice and pretty. And she presents it in such a different way and makes you feel like any little part you're doing is worth it.
Yes. And she's so knowledgeable too. I just love her. She's Texan and she says y'all, and she's just the greatest.
I also wanted to mention too, that if you're looking for like easy, practical things you can do right now to be more sustainable, we have a blog post about it, which I'll link in the show notes. It's got things all the way from like small changes you can make with your heating and air conditioning and your electricity consumption to like different products or ways to use different products. So easy things you can do right now.
Yeah. When we first moved into this house, our hot water heater was set too high, and Heather and AJ fixed it for us.
Well, to be clear, I just said, wow, your water's really hot.
and then AJ, right?
Yes.
AJ went out to check it and he fixed it for us.
His Enneagram 1 wing came out real hard, and he had to physically go out into the garage and fix it, or he would not have slept that night. So,
well, we appreciate it. All right, let's dive into the episode after this quick break.
Our sponsor, Hiya, is back.
Hiya is a daily children's multivitamin that arrives fresh with a 30-day supply and a refillable glass bottle your kids can decorate and personalize. After that, you'll receive a no plastic refill pouch sent monthly right to your doorstep.
Hiya isn't your typical candy-like vitamin either. It contains no sugar added, but still has 15 essential vitamins and minerals known to support immunity, growth, and development. It's also dairy-free, gluten-free, vegan, and made right here in the U.S.
For a limited time, your first order is just $15, a $15 savings, and shipping is free. To get this deal, go to okayestmoms.com/Hiya. That's okayestmoms.com/HIYA.
There are two certainties in a mom's life, dishes and laundry. If you're like us, then your washing machine and dishwasher are putting in overtime every day.
Drops makes effective, eco-friendly, and convenient household cleaning products. From laundry pods, they're the original creators, to dishwasher detergent and more. They've got your home covered.
Drops detergent pods are tough enough to handle any stains your kids can throw at them, including those grass stains. Remove odors, yet are still gentle on fabric. They do all of this without any harsh chemicals. Drops uses plant-based ingredients and is dye, phosphate, phthalate, and paraben-free. They come in a variety of light, crisp scents, or unscented too.
What caught our eye the most is that Drops is committed to being eco-responsible. Packaging is designed to reduce waste, single-use plastic, and unnecessary shipping materials. Drops has kept nearly 3.5 million single-use plastic detergent containers, tubs, and jugs from polluting waterways. You can even further reduce your carbon footprint by saving yourself a trip to the store when you sign up for the subscribe and save option, so you never run out of a reason to do laundry again.
New customers can save 25% off their first order of Drops with code OKAYEST25, and existing Drops customers can get 15% off with code OKAYEST15 at drops.com. That's DROPPS.com.
Hi, Addie. We're so happy to have you back on the podcast. For new listeners, Addie was on our podcast in December, and she is back to talk to us about sustainability. Can you give us a quick introduction for new listeners?
Yes. Thank you all so much for having me again. My name is Addie Fisher, and I am a sustainable content creator, mostly on Instagram, but I have a blog as well, and it's under the name Old World New. And I just talk about how sustainability isn't a perfect journey. And I share my mishaps, my wins, everything along the journey with my community at Old World New.
I love how you said that you're mostly on Instagram, but you also have a blog. We feel the same way these days. It's like, is anybody going there? What's happening?
It's hard to get people to click over, but you know, community building is easier when you can speak directly with each other on Instagram.
Definitely. So how did you get into the sustainability space?
Okay, so originally I wanted to be an architect, and that was like from the age of 12. So got to college first year, gung-ho about it, and kind of fell out of love with it, but stuck with it. And near the end of my time in college, I got into historic preservation because it was a book about Italy and all of the old buildings in Italy that made me fall in love with architecture in the first place. So I had the chance to study abroad. That was one of my dreams since I was 12. I said, I'm going to live in Italy. And I didn't live there per se, but I stayed there for 4 months studying. And one of my classes was about historic preservation. And in it, I started learning about sustainability, sustainably restoring buildings. And once I got back at the University of Arkansas, my home school, which also was the host for the school in Italy, they had started a program for sustainability. You can get a minor in it then. And there was a grad program as well, but it was just small, nothing really big. But I was like, okay, I have to get into this. This is something that I really want to incorporate when I become an architect. And I dove into the program. One of my architecture professors was actually one of the key professors in starting that program. So had a good connection that way. And I noticed that, you know, it wasn't just architecture that needed sustainability. I could apply it to all areas of my life. And I just started exploring it. Professors gave me books to read, and I just learned a little bit more here and there. And I found out that we also had a new office for sustainability at school. And so I was like around them all the time, nagging them. And then finally my last year in school, I got to work with them all the way. I started at the beginning of the year, and a couple of us stayed on through the summer after I graduated. So I was like, okay, I'm doing all things sustainability. I'm all in it now.
I love it. It's like you felt called.
Yes, definitely. And I feel that way as well because I definitely was over architecture, over interior design. It wasn't what I loved. And it was a part of me that was and still is sometimes hard to let go of, because that's what I wanted since I was 12, you know? And they say, you know, you said you wanted to be this and it makes a lot of money, so you should do it. You have this degree. But it wasn't the architecture that I ended up gaining. It was learning about sustainability. And now that's like part of an integral part of my life in so many ways.
Yeah, I love that. So sustainable living can be really intimidating. What are some things people can do right now to be more sustainable? Just actionable things to make people feel more empowered? Because I feel like it's like a domino effect. As soon as you do one thing, then it's easier to do another and it becomes more integrated into your life.
I definitely agree with that. Number one, just assess what you use at home. Look at your daily habits and take note of what you're purchasing, what you're bringing into your home, what you use on the regular, and then pair that with knowledge. So go to blogs, read blogs. Put it to, yeah, it's blog. Put it to advertising, read blogs. I know they're old school, but read blogs. Read books, read posts on Instagram, and learn about changes that people are helping other people make. And pair those two together. So you see someone talking about going paperless and you realize that, you know, you consume a lot of paper in your home. Maybe that's one switch that you can actually make now and continue to gain knowledge, continue to read. And even if you can't do the things that you read about yet, you'll have them in your knowledge bank. You can share them with other people. And there'll come a time when you are able to incorporate them in your life, hopefully. But if not, still you can share them with other people. Like, not everybody's going to be able to get an electric car. If you live in the country where there are no charging stations, except for the one in your home, that might be difficult. But a lot of people may be able to switch to cloth towels instead of paper towels. So just continue to immerse yourself in sustainability culture, learning about easy swaps, and then the harder swaps, and, you know, the there's a matrix of things that come along after the personal, because there's only so much that we can do, but continue to learn about what you can do personally and apply it when you're able to, and give yourself grace when you can't, because it's not easy all the time.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So I always feel like, I love that quote, that when you know better, you do better. And it, but it's always such a source of guilt for me, because there's so many things that I know I should be doing better, especially in the sustainability space. But it's hard, like on a busy weeknight, to just not throw dinner on a paper plate. And because, you know, I don't have time to wash the dishes or something like that. So can you talk a little bit more about like that sense of not having to be perfect all the time? Because I get this, like, I know I shouldn't be doing this, and but it's the easiest thing right in this minute, and I need to do it to like for my mental health and sanity. But also, like, how do you find the balance between like actually living a real life in 2022 and using the knowledge that you have? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And something that you said in there, so sustainable, you know, we see it as, you know, going green, recycling. But sustainable isn't only applicable to that field. We have to sustain ourselves. And if we cannot sustain ourselves, we can't try to be sustainable and make changes that are better for the planet at, you know, at large. So if you can't function because, you know, you're spending hours doing dishes, and that's a real thing because we don't use paper and I don't like to wash dishes.
Yeah, exactly.
And like that is like a sore spot for us. Like dishes is not a happy conversation in our house.
No, we same. The biggest pain point in our house is dishes.
Yeah, and so paper plates. That's funny. I haven't thought about paper plates in a long time. I use them when I go other places, no problem. Because, you know, if somebody else's house and they don't want to wash dishes, that's your house. Do this, and you know, it is what it is. But you have to sustain yourself first, and if you can't be whole and complete and happy, you know, then you can't go about the business of taking care of the planet in your own personal way. So you come first. You are part of this planet. And that's not like in a frivolous manner, not like, oh, I want all these bags and it's for my mental health, you know, not like that. Taking care of you holistically and making sure your needs are met and your family's needs are met before you can actually conquer saving the world. I don't really like that term because we cannot save the world. Some corporations could band together and save the world, but us personally, it's not on us to save the world, but we can make changes that are better for the planet, better for our homes and our families, and influence the next generation to live more sustainably, like from the beginning.
I always wonder about like using the paper plates, for example. Obviously, that's more waste put into our environment, but also washing the dishes uses water. And in California, you know, we're in a drought again. And so that's always top of mind for us. And then you think about, I run the dishwasher because dishes are the pain point in our house. And so, you know, if you think about like the electricity that goes into running the dishwasher too, it's like, it kind of feels like a net zero, basically.
It feels like there's no way to win, honestly.
Exactly.
Everybody will have their opinion about it, and there's research to back different sides. You know, fill the sink, use a low flow sink head so that the water that comes out is substantially less than a normal sink, like a faucet. Or, you know, there are Energy Star style appliances that claim to use less water. But at the end of the day, we are going to use resources. And that's another important point to point out. Is we are going to use resources. If we are living on this earth, we are going to contribute to some waste on this earth. Nothing we can do about it. Some people try to, you know, I'm not a zero waster. And some people like do it effortlessly and I won't say effortlessly. It looks effortlessly or effortless on Instagram. But in real life, you know, it's a lot of work behind trying to live like that or living off the grid. We're going to contribute waste, and we just have to find the way that works best for us personally while also being mindful of the earth.
I love that. Perfection is not the goal because that's not sustainable.
Not at all. But that is one of my quotes. I feel like I coined it. I don't know. I'm pretty sure somebody else said it, but it's one of—
I probably did read that from you, I'm sure.
I live by it. Like, perfection is not sustainable. And I have an issue with perfection outside of sustainability, and it's through sustainability that I have started to break that down, because I've realized, oh, okay, no, this whole Instagram, Pinterest picture that you really like, that's not your life, but that does not mean that what you're doing is insignificant, and it's not going to be perfect or how you think perfect should look, but what you're doing matters.
And it doesn't have to be Instagram worthy to count as doing something.
Exactly. And I love that so many influencers on Instagram are starting to show that what they, you know, their real life, because there's only a small percentage of people who can, you know, show the aesthetic that is assumed to be associated with sustainable, like perfect sustainable living. That's not the reality for the majority of us. So showing it off and making it real for other people, I am enjoying that so much now.
Yeah, that's cool. Tell us about the circular economy and why it's important to the sustainability movement.
So a circular economy is one that doesn't produce products for one singular use that they then end up in a landfill or useless. A circular economy produces things that can be regenerated. So say instead of plastic bags, paper bags. And paper bags are like the original type of thing, but we can reuse them in several different ways. They can be recycled more easily if they are, you know, correctly assembled with the correct types of glues and ink so that they won't pollute once they are recycled and remade into something else. But that's just like a simple example. Now we have, talking with the company, they made a trash can that is recyclable. So I have never really thought about what happens with my trash can when it's done. You just put it in the trash. Like, it feels really symbolic to say, like, even my trash can be taken and reused and remade into something that is actually beneficial instead of harming the earth, like so much that we do. Since the Industrial Revolution, things have just been easier to make and discard. And there was no prior knowledge of what happens when you just make discard the hundreds of years since, or history is not my strong point. I don't know. I don't remember what year.
Other numbers. It doesn't matter.
The years since the Industrial Revolution, like, we are discovering and at alarming rates now, because of access to information. It's really easy. We see that the make discard model is killing our planet. When it harms one species, it harms others. When it harms one ecosystem, it harms others. And it ultimately comes back to us. And we're so disconnected now too. It's an interesting web. We made things so that we could live life easier. We disconnected from each other. And so when something happens to one other area, we think that it can't happen to us. But now we're seeing in America that it can, because Florida and New Orleans, those are examples of how our actions, corporations' actions, are impacting our daily lives. Even in Texas, these snowstorms, it's crazy. We were without electricity for, not me personally, luckily, but several people I know were without electricity, like right down the street, for a week in 2021 when it happened. This year, we were able to leave town. We had to leave town for an emergency, but we left before the snowstorm came. And luckily, it was lighter and nothing like really bad happened. I don't believe there were any deaths this time, but the impacts of creating and discarding are finally coming back right to us in the, you know, the pop culture center of the world, where we're making, you know, all these decisions that influence everything around the globe, that are also harming folks, and it harms them first, but it comes back to us finally. And hopefully people are taking heed of that. You know, like I said, there's only so many changes we can make personally, but we have the power to collectively make changes in the government and to force the government to get corporations to make changes as well.
It's definitely hard to deny, and no matter where you live, that a change is happening. Even right here in Northern California, where we are, spring is always kind of, you know, like a swing back and forth between hot and cold, and you know that, but it's definitely more punctuated this year. Today, it's going to be in the low 90s, and then in just 3 to 4 days from now, it's supposed to be in the low 60s and raining. So we're really feeling that pendulum swing this year. And so it's hard to deny that something is happening. And, you know, I know people get bogged down in the, like, is it humans causing it, or is this just like a natural earth cycle? But even if we thought maybe it's us humans, isn't that enough to change your behavior?
Yeah. Even if it's just a minor thought, we know that our activity has changed dramatically versus the first few thousands of years we were alive. You know, just like building out of natural materials, barely impacting the environment, versus now the population of the world is a huge number. We are building with new materials constantly, and not always out of necessity, but out of want, because we want the newest thing. And like, we have some type of impact on it, whether you think it's fully our impact or if it's, you know, this is just what the world is doing now. We can make changes that would positively impact it the other way, back to a healthy state.
So you mentioned that individual households taking action is definitely necessary, but not the only answer. You said we alone can't save the world. So could you talk a little bit about what you think the role, can you talk about what role corporations should be playing in the effort?
Most definitely. I think right now we see a lot of corporations getting on the bandwagon for visibility about sustainability versus actually taking actions holistically through their company on all levels. And that's from paying people living wages, because when you don't pay people living wages, they live in conditions that are harmful to them and harmful to the earth. When you don't think about even the packaging of your products, I saw an Instagram post that's like, oh, it's nice how these companies give us this thing and give it to us in basically a piece of trash, because we use it and we just throw it away. But like, they have so much power to cause a shift in that. Smaller companies are starting with that intention to only create things sustainably or as sustainably as they can. And they do it with limited funding. So why can't corporations who have a huge amount of funding and whose higher ups get more and more money every year, why can't they allocate funds to research and to implementing sustainable solutions for not only the products that they're selling, but the packaging, the advertising, and the way they treat the humans that make the things that we love. They have so much power, and I just feel like right now they're playing with it in our face. And they're just like, ooh, we got this green thing.
Gas prices. Yeah.
Playing. They're just playing with us. But I say playing, but it impacts us in so many ways negatively. It hurts us so much. And I feel like it will take a lot of government intervention to enforce sanctions and rules, regulations that make them get in line with sustainable solutions. But the hard part about that is, like you said, not everybody believes that it's us that's doing it. Not everybody cares because, you know, a lot of people, they lobby for the money and not for anybody else. They're worried about themselves and their future generations and not anyone else in the world. So it's a constant battle. It's not easy in any sense of the word. But it's possible.
Well, I think we see that with our congressional leaders all the time. I mean, there's Joe Manchin in West Virginia who wouldn't sign the Build Back Better bill because he wanted coal to be such a viable part. And we know that that's the most detrimental source of energy for our country. But, you know, that's where the money is and that's the people he represents. And so it's really frustrating to hear these things that there is a small group of lawmakers trying to get these things passed, and then there's just such opposition to it.
Yeah. And that's another way where sustainably thinking about people matters too, because people who work in coal mines, they matter. What they do next, like, I can't imagine doing something my whole life and having to switch. Like, I get their frustration.
Totally.
Even if they know that it's harmful for them, that's what they've known. That's been their whole life. So,
and generations too. They're, yeah.
Definitely. Like been through their whole family. Like, there should be systems set up to help them integrate them into a new system, like something where they can have a lucrative career and there's training for it and it's not on their backs to do it. Because this is important for all of us. And there are some, I believe there have been programs like that before where they help people get into like the solar sector, but it's few and far in between. It's not common.
It almost sounds like you're saying that social change and investing in people is also beneficial for the environment. What a concept.
Talking.
Yes. It's so like everything is connected. It's not. It's not just the straws for the turtles. Like, there's so much more to it than that. We have to take care of people in order to take care of the planet.
Well, right? Because if we're not taking care of people, they don't feel supported. How are they, what incentive do they have to try and not buy single-use plastic? They don't care. They're just trying to make rent.
That is a very poignant point. Like, if I'm worried about eating, keeping a roof over my head and, you know, keeping a job because I might get fired if I'm sick. Like, I don't have time to worry about the environment. My personal environment is in flames every day. I'm just trying to make ends meet. So we have to take care of people. And it's not everybody's personal belief, but it's my personal belief that we have to take care of each other.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna go grab the bag of Cheetos wrapped in literal trash because you don't have the time to care about grass-fed, small artisan meat bought at the farmer's market. You just, you don't care about the, you don't have the time.
And then not even it's wrapped in trash, but like literally the products that are offered sometimes at cheaper rates, most of the time, are more harmful to your personal health. And then that wreaks havoc that has, you know, like real consequences. And I know, like, I see a lot of people or like accounts are like, you know, vegetables are cheaper at this store, but like people don't always have time, like their time for, because they're working three jobs. They don't have time to get all these
vegetables. You have to wash and peel and chop and
Even I stay at home. I don't want to do all that.
I don't want to go to two stores.
Oh my goodness. I hate when I have to do that. Like, okay, if it's not all at Walmart, if it's not all at Aldi, next time, because I'm tired. I'm tired of shopping.
Yeah. Well, and to your point about the food itself, I mean, if you don't believe that, when's the last time you looked at a school lunch? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not great. And to think that that is the only meal a large portion of children in our country get every day, it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Because they do. Do y'all watch Abbott Elementary? Have y'all seen that show?
We just started it. Okay. I love it.
Have y'all gotten to the cafeteria and garden
episode? No, not yet. Okay.
Well, then that'll be a good episode for that. I will not reveal it, but you'll see when you get to that episode.
Oh, I can't wait. It's on our list.
That. Okay.
Any real meaningful change will likely require congressional action, like you said. Even then, it will have to be in accordance with a global effort. Do you know of any progress for large-scale change or organizations or efforts our listeners could focus their attention on to pressure lawmakers? Also vote. Everybody vote.
Voting is very important. That's so fun. Okay, I have this right here. This is like a personal thing. It's called Planet Post. And we found each other on Instagram, but they have a kit. I'm sorry, it's going to be noisy when I open it. Where they send you postcards to send on different subjects to different lawmakers.
Oh, I love this.
So they have, here's one of the postcards. They give you the stamps and everything too. And I think they give you scripts. So it depends on like what you want to talk about. So this one was about climate emergency, and it gives you facts about it.
Oh, that is so cool.
And let's see, does it have the script? Gives you resources, like QR codes to resources. But this one's one like you can, you know, take a small, it's a small action, but that adds up because isn't it public record? Like when you contact people in Congress and things like that? Like you leaving them voicemails and sending them letters, like that's something that is seen and
seen or read or listened to.
Yeah. So like getting a kit to send postcards to from local to state to national representatives, that's a small and fun way. Like you can make it a family night type of thing, or you can do it by yourself. So that's one way you could help easily instead of like having to do all the front end work on your own.
I was going to say, I like that it seems to present it in like really bite-sized information. And if you have a script, because I mean, obviously you want to agree with the things that you're writing off the script, which I do. But sometimes when you sit down to like write something like that, it's hard to get all the information out in a concise way. Because I just end up going, So I like that it makes it really easy.
Yeah, that's so cool. I love that. I just followed him on Instagram for us.
Okay, awesome. that's one I can think of right now. It seems small, but it's a way to get started that isn't overwhelming. Like you said, sitting down trying to write it and you're like, climate doom, climate frustration. And
why do I have to explain this to you?
Yeah, you should know. I could write a three-page paper, but I have a couple of lines, so let's be concise about it. Here are some facts that you should know, and you know it's a fact, so you don't have to believe or not believe. It's a fact.
True.
let's see. Other organizations. Instagram just comes to mind easily because that's just where I am. Mm-hmm. But there's this young lady named Michaela Loach. She's not in America. But she and two other European folks, I think they're in the UK, started a program, and they, like, I think they sued some companies, maybe gas companies or something like that. So her course, like, I don't know, I just liked watching it and seeing how it showed that a young woman of color was able to go all the way against corporations who are harming not just her, but the world. So that was fun to watch. And she's still, I think they're still in court about it, or it recently ended, but Michaela Loach, I'll send y'all her
name
when I find it. Yeah. Intersectional environmentalists, like, following along with people who are doing the work is inspiration to do the work as well for me. So, and then just learning from them, like, what they have experienced, what they're going through, like, following along with them, it's inspirational. So intersectional environmentalists, that's one. I could go on for days, like, of personal people, but, like, organizations, I guess they don't stick with me as much. That's funny. Like, it's the personal that sticks with me.
Yeah.
The people.
Us too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this has been such a joy. Thank you so much for coming back on. Can you let our audience know where they can find you?
Most definitely. I appreciate y'all for having me again. You can find me online. My website is oldworldnew.us, and you can find me on Instagram at oldworldnew.
Thank you so much, Addie.
Thank y'all.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.
As moms, our calendars really revolve around our kids' schedules. We're the cruise directors for their school activities, extracurriculars, and social lives, on top of all the other stuff we have going on for ourselves. Summer is just around the corner, which means even more coordination of camps, activities, family time, vacations, and more.
If you've followed us for a while, you know of our undying love for the Essential Calendar. The Essential Calendar allows you to easily see 3 months at a glance, making planning easier and seamless. Just imagine if you could see all of summer break in one place without flipping calendar pages, or that black hole between Halloween and New Year's. Plus, the minimalist design fits with any aesthetic.
I actually just sat down and wrote out all of the upcoming baseball and softball games and practices on my Essential Calendar. I thought I could wing it and get to it when I got to it, but then I showed up to a practice a half an hour late and realized I actually can't function without my Essential Calendar. Digital calendars are great, but there's something about seeing it all together in one spot that just makes so much more sense for my brain.
If you're feeling like you're drowning trying to get organized now that all the activities are back, grab the summer break and autumn calendar bundle to get things on track. Go to okayestmoms.com/essential to get 10% off your order.